I think compared to so many countries around the world, so happy to be living in a world down under at the moment. It's Classic Hits 4C8. Murray in the Breakfast Show. It's 8 minutes past seven. Nice to have you along this morning. Well, particularly in his role as the Member for Seniors and Disability Services and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships, obviously the portfolio that looks after some of our most vulnerable people in the community. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening with the COVID-19. Obviously, the vaccine's the big story this morning, but of course, the mandatory mask wearing here in Queensland. Some people have raised their eyebrows about it, particularly in some of these more, I guess, regional and rural areas. But the compliance is quite amazing. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the background and why we still need to do it. Craig Crawford, welcome along to the Breakfast Show. How's your Friday morning been so far? A bit chilly in the tropical north, actually.
Yeah, so far so good, but it's only early days today, mate. But hey, the weekend starts tomorrow, Murray.
I've got a lot of plans. I bet you I'll run into your Bunnings at some stage across the weekend. Sadly, the compliance at Bunnings, and regardless of where you go these days, amazing compliance. So, you know, there is some resistance with respect to the mandatory mask wearing requirement, but I tell you what, a lot of people have certainly just picked up the cudgels and are running with it without any question.
Yeah, look, and it's good, you know, and you know, there were some questions early on. Why do we have to do it up here? You know, why do we have to do it out, you know, in country towns and all over the place? And it is important. You know, it's for 2 weeks. It's just to make sure that we don't have any strays running around still that have COVID. You know, we know that there's a lot of people still move between Brisbane and Cairns and small country towns. You know, we saw with that last outbreak last week that suddenly towns like Hervey Bay and Gladstone and different places started to pop up on the radar, and we saw what happened in Byron Bay with a massive music festival cancelled because one person went there to a hens party and created all that. So, you know, it is important. It's a little bit of pain. It is annoying. I carry a mask on me. I know. I get it. It's, you know, but it's, We have to do it, and especially when you consider that overseas, you know, some countries have been doing this now for probably a year, year and a half. We've got to do it for 14 days. I think we can hack it.
Now, look, you know, sadly, the impact of the lockdown in Brisbane, you know, did have, you know, I guess was felt here in the tropical north, and certainly for Port Douglas and quite a few places that had bookings. So there has certainly been quite a few impacts, particularly for the tourism industry. But at the end of the day, and in hindsight, I think the action of the government, most people have actually agreed with it. And I guess it gave the contract tracers time to actually work out where these clusters were. And we managed to nip it in the bud because, you know, as we well know, the cost of it getting out is just astronomical.
That's right, and the cost of it coming here is even more so. So, you know, imagine if from that outbreak last week, if all of a sudden Cairns or Port Douglas appeared on the map as a place where we had a further outbreak with community transmission, you know, there would have been no one coming, and there probably would have been no one come for a number of months. You know, with certainly seen, you know, cafes and restaurants, you know, down south that have had a COVID case, you know, their businesses shut down for weeks, sometimes months, because, you know, suddenly they're on the map as a place where it's been. So I've been saying for quite a while now that, you know, the last thing we want up here is community transmission in Cairns. It's not just for those few days, it's for then the months that follow, because it's a reputational thing. So we've been very lucky so far. Hopefully we can, you know, that luck will continue until everyone gets their vaccine rollout.
Okay, look, as we wrap up this morning, just keen to tap in on some of your knowledge in your previous role as the Minister for Fire and Emergency Services. And it's something that, you know, I've had some concerns about with the Rescue 510 chopper. It's an amazing machine. It's a big machine. It's a very, very fast machine. You know, it's sometimes you would wonder the cost of actually using that to be chasing stolen cars around the tropical north is just so prohibitive. And there's actually a story in the Cairns Post this morning saying that individually some of those chases cost about $100,000. What are your thoughts about using this Rescue 510 chopper as against getting a dedicated, possibly smaller, more specific type of helicopter here in the tropical north to deal with those type of issues?
Look, I think it's good. It's good use of the current asset. You know, there are strict protocols in play about what types of jobs take precedence. You know, whether they're medically related jobs or or jobs for the police or even for QFES and other agencies that can use it. You know, the helicopter is available for a number of government agencies to use, and each one of them has a certain priority. So, you know, if it's being used looking for a stolen car, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be able to do that medical retrieval from the reef or Port Douglas or whatever. You know, there's clearly a hierarchy of tasking that, sure, that they undertake. I think it's good use of the asset. You know, to have a dedicated helicopter is very expensive. You know, that's a $20 million asset sitting there just for the machine. That's before you staff it, it's before you maintain it, it's before you house it. So I wouldn't like to see us in a position where we have to get a dedicated police helicopter. I think that would be a lot of bad news. I think it would be a lot of money. And I think that money would be better off put towards trying to actually, you know, further invest in more police and troops and equipment on the ground to actually stop the crime and stolen cars in the first place, rather than put something else in the air. But, you know, obviously we'll have to see how it goes, and, you know, if it does get to a point where the usage of it is really high, well, and that'll be an issue for the police to look at how they actually resource their air fleet, whether they go to a different model. But at the moment, I think it's good value for money that they're getting.
That's a really interesting perspective, and said certainly from your former role there as the Minister for Fire and Emergency Services, you certainly got the knowledge of some of the costs there, and it certainly is an incredible asset, and I guess that puts it into a little bit more of a perspective as well. Mate, have a fantastic weekend. Wonderful to talk to you this morning, and we'll probably catch up with you at Bunnings at some stage, and thanks for your time this morning. Always appreciate your time.
No worries, Murray. Thank you. Every